You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Cashelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Cashelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, in our last lecture, we were talking about the Trinity in creation. In particular, we ended on the note of Hebrews chapter 1, through which we are taught this. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our forefathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. Now, we ended on that passage where we looked in the rest of the chapter how God the Father is speaking of God the Son, and we dropped down, of course, to verse 10, which said, "You, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands." Now, that's Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10. And this is the Father speaking to the Son. And so here the Father is calling the Son Lord and declaring that the work of creation is the Son's work. He's giving honor and glory to the Son that is rightly due to the Creator of all things. So here we have the Father saying that this is the work of your hands. Now, we'll look a little bit more at this in today's lecture. We'll continue this with a chapter 1, tying back into Isaiah's chapter 44, Isaiah chapter 45, and Isaiah chapter 48. Now, we'll also look at Psalm 102 and Psalm 45, in which Hebrews chapter 1 is quoting. And then we'll end on the note from Hebrews chapter 11, that also proclaims that the Holy Spirit is eternal, just as the Word and just as God. So let's begin here, as we got a lot to talk about. Now, in this passage in Hebrews chapter 1, we are told that the Father speaks to the Son, and the Father declares to the Son that His hands have created all things, that through Him the world was created. And so in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5, the author says, "For to which of the angels did God ever say, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you'? Or again, 'I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son.'" Now, we know that the Son is begotten of the Father. He is begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, Light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father. And so in a passage like this, we are taught this truth, that the Son is begotten, being of the same divine essence. He is God of God. He is not a created being. Instead, He is the being who creates all things. Now, we know that there is only one true God who is the Creator of all things. To clarify, St. Augustine, in his work on the Trinity, says this: "Not simply all things, but only all things that were made, that is, the whole creation, from which it appears clearly that He Himself was not made by whom all things were made. And if He was not made, then He is not a creature. But if He is not a creature, then He is of the same substance with the Father. For all substance that is not God is creature, and all that is not creature is God. And if the Son is not of the same substance with the Father, then He is a substance that was made. And if He is a substance that was made, then all things were not made by Him. But all things were made by Him. Therefore he is of one and the same substance with the Father. And so he is not only God, but also very God. Now that's St. Augustine in his work on the Trinity, in which he clarifies, he articulates what we believe, teach, and confess in the Scripture as revealed in the Scriptures that are given to us, through which the prophets and the apostles reveal to us the divine truth that there is one God who has existed from all eternity. And yet, there are three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So that when we look at a passage like this from Hebrews chapter 1, we are taught to make this distinction between the Father and the Son. So the Father is speaking to the Son. Yet when we go back and look at the prophets, like for instance, let's look at Isaiah 44. Let's look at how the prophet Isaiah teaches us to confess the one God. And so in Isaiah 44, we know that there is only one true God, or as Augustine would say, very God. He is the creator of all things. And Isaiah the prophet teaches us this truth in chapter 44 of his book, in which he writes, "Thus says Yahweh, your Redeemer, who formed you from the womb, I am Yahweh, who made all things, who alone stretched out the heavens, who spread out the earth by myself." Now this is Isaiah chapter 44, verse 24. When we look at a passage like this, it is interesting to note the phrase, "by myself," in the Hebrew, literally, "me eti" means "from with me." This combination of these words together, this compound, "from with me," or we might say, "from the one with me." You see, according to the natural use of the Hebrew language, it agrees with the New Testament, through which we learn from the true rabbis of the Hebrew language, the New Testament writers, that teach to us about the incarnation. You see, in the Hebrew, when it says that I spread out the earth by myself, or literally from the one with me, it testifies the same truth that there was one with God in the beginning. This truth is taught to us in chapter 1 of John's Gospel, in which he writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." That's John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. So again, the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament apostles agree that there is one God. God who alone is eternal, who created all things. And they both testify, that is the Old Testament and the New Testament, that there is a distinction in persons between the Father who is eternal, the Son who is eternal, and the Holy Spirit who is eternal, who have created all things. And so you look back at Isaiah chapter 45, and again it says this at verse 5. Here God speaks to Cyrus and says, "I am Yahweh, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I equip you, though you do not know me, that people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am Yahweh, and there is no other." Now this is chapter 45, verses 5 through 6. And then again in verse 12, Yahweh declares, "I made the earth and created man on it. It was my hands that stretched out the heavens, and I commanded all their hosts." That's Isaiah 45, verse 12. And then again in verse 18, "For thus says Yahweh, who created the heavens," he is God, who formed the earth and made it. He established it. He did not create it empty. He formed it to be inhabited. I am Yahweh, and there is no other. Again, this is verse 18. You see, here in Isaiah chapter 45, the Lord makes it very clear that He alone is God. There is no other. And that He is the one who stretched out the heavens. They're the work of His hands. Yet in Hebrews chapter 1, the Father declares this truth to the Son, about the Son, that it was the work of the Son's hands, that the Son created and stretched out the heavens by the work of His hands. Now again in Isaiah chapter 48, starting at verse 11, we read this, "For my own sake, for my own sake I do it, for how should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another." You see, here in verse 11, Yahweh makes it very clear that He will not allow His name to be profaned, and He will not give His glory to another. Yet in Hebrews chapter 1, the Father is giving His glory to the Son. The Father declares the Son to be the one who created all things. In fact, go back to Isaiah 48, and picking up from verse 11 to verse 12 to verse 13, we read this. "Listen to me, O Jacob and Israel, whom I called. I am He, I am the first, and I am the last. My hand laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand spread out the heavens. When I call to them, they stand forth together." Now again, this is from Isaiah chapter 48. We are told that Yahweh is the one who created all things. He declares that He laid the foundation of the earth by His hand. It's the work of His hands. Yet again, in chapter 1 of Hebrews, the Father speaks of the Son. In particular, if you go back and start at verse 8, we read this, "But of the Son, the Father says, Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of Your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, Your God, has anointed You with the oil of gladness beyond Your companions. And You, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of Your hands. They will perish, but You remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like a robe will You roll them up. Like a garment they will be changed, but You are the same, and Your years will have no end." This is Hebrews chapter 1, verses 8 through 12. Again, we're learning to make this distinction between the person of the Father and the Son, where the Father speaks to the Son, giving to the Son the same glory and honor that is only rightfully due to God, so that the Father calls the Son God. The Father declares the Son to be eternal, and the Father declares the Son to be the one who laid the foundation of the earth, that the creation is the work of His hands. Now, these passages in Hebrews chapter 1 come to us from the Psalms. So we see them in Psalm 102 and Psalm 45. Now, in particular, we look at Psalm 45. And in Psalm 45, when you read it in the Old Testament scriptures, it says this at verses 6 and 7. "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of Your kingdom is a scepter of uprightness. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, Your God, has anointed You with the oil of gladness beyond Your companions." That's Psalm 45, verses 6 through 7. Now, see, if you take the incarnation out of this picture, and you don't have an understanding of the person and work of Jesus Christ, you might take a passage like this at face value and say, oh, well, this is the psalmist who is speaking to God and declaring God, that God is eternal. But yet, in the New Testament scriptures, through the apostles, through the prophets, the Holy Spirit reveals to us divine reality and teaches us that here we have the Father speaking to the Son. so that the Father himself is calling the Son eternal God, and that the Father himself is declaring that the Son has this eternal kingdom. You see, now, with the incarnation in place, we understand this all makes sense. But without the incarnation, one has to try to make sense of this by the imagination of his mind or the desires of his heart to try to change this to mean something else. But yet we are taught very clearly in Hebrews chapter 1 that the Father declares the Son to be God and eternal. Now, likewise, in Hebrews chapter 1, the psalmist from Psalm 102 is quoted. And these words, like the previous words, are put into the mouth of the Father. But yet, if you just read Psalm 102 out of context, just took it and ripped the page out of your Bible and read it separated from the rest of the divine revealed knowledge of salvation, you might be confused with this. And you might create your own personal, private interpretation. Because let's look at Psalm 102. It begins in verse 1 by saying this, "Hear my prayer, O Yahweh. Let my cry come to you." And then in verse 12, which is very similar to Psalm 45, "But you, O Yahweh, are enthroned forever. You are remembered throughout all generations." And then if you drop down to verses 25 through 27, it says this, "Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end." Now that's Psalm 102, verses 25 through 27. So if you take Psalm 102 by itself at face value, you know that it is speaking of Yahweh, for Yahweh is the one who laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of his hands, for there is only one who created all things, and there is no other God. And we know that he alone is eternal. And so if you took this and just ripped this out of your Bible and read it by itself, you may come up again with the own imagination of your mind and your own private interpretation and say, well, this is just a passage that talks about God and how God is eternal. But yet, when you connect this passage to the rest of all of the scriptures written for our benefit to reveal to us the teaching of the prophets and the apostles inspired by the Holy Spirit, we understand that this is not merely teaching that Yahweh is eternal, but in fact, Psalm 102 is teaching about the Messiah, who himself is eternal God, the very Son of God begotten from all eternity. So that in Hebrews chapter 1, we have the correct context of how this passage is to be used. It is used to reveal to us Jesus, who he is and what he does. He is eternal God who creates all things. He is the one who has come to restore creation and to make all things new. And so when you look in Hebrews chapter 1, we realize that Psalm 102 is about the Messiah, and it is the Father who is now declaring to the Son that you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. So here you have the Father testifying of the Son, that this is his beloved Son in whom he is well pleased. That this beloved Son is God of God, not created, not made, but rather being the creator of all things that have been made. For it is the Father who speaks of the Son, saying, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is a scepter of your kingdom." And also, "You, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth. In the beginning, the heavens are the work of your hands." You see, in passages like this, we are learning that in the scriptures, that when you take a verse or a paragraph and you have God speaking about God, or the Lord speaking about the Lord, or Yahweh speaking about Yahweh as one person would speak about another person, we are taught about the distinctions in persons. That the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all three are one. All three were in the beginning creating all things. The key to understanding the Holy Scriptures is Jesus. He is the one who unlocks all of the teachings of the Scriptures that teach Him. So that the Bible itself is not a book that gives to us basic instructions before leaving Earth, as if it was some kind of a rule book that you would have from a game of Monopoly or something so that you can learn how to play the rules of life. But instead, it is God's Word written to us to reveal God's Son. And that in Him we would have life, for in Him there is life, for He is the eternal life. So that the Scriptures themselves testify that He is God, the Creator of all things and the One who has come to restore all things, creating a new heavens and a new earth. Now let's look back again at Isaiah 45. Again, at verse 18 it says this, "For thus says Yahweh who created the heavens, He is God, who formed the earth and made it, He established it, He did not create it empty, He formed it to be inhabited. I am Yahweh and there is no other." Now that's in verse 18. But now if you keep reading and you get to verse 22, here's what you hear. "Turn to Me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is no other. By Myself I have sworn, from My mouth has gone out in righteousness a word that shall not return. To Me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear allegiance." Now that's Isaiah chapter 45, verses 22 through 23. Now in the New Testament, we have the apostles, specifically Paul, who will take this very passage and he will clarify for us what is meant here. Who is the one to whom we are to turn to be saved? "Turn to Me and be saved," it says, "and to Me every knee shall bow." Well, the apostles are sent out to the world to proclaim this eternal gospel, which is the gospel that brings salvation by preaching Christ crucified. So, for instance, in Romans chapter 14, here's what the Apostle Paul writes. "The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he has given thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God, for it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God.' So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." Now this is Romans chapter 14, verses 6 through 12. Now in this passage, Paul is using the text from Isaiah 45, and he is teaching from the text. He's giving to us the revealed knowledge of salvation here. And notice how Paul will say, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." Now, if you follow Paul through this chapter, he's making a distinction between God and the Lord. So that in this chapter, we have the Lord who is Jesus Christ, and then God who is the Father. So you see this very typical in the New Testament, that we learn to make a distinction between persons, that you have the Father referred to as God, and the Son referred to as the Lord. Now, it's very unique that we do this because the Father himself is God and never took upon flesh and blood. The person of the Father was not incarnate, nor did he die or rise from the dead. That is only unique to the Son. So the Father is typically called God, so that we have this distinction between him and the Son. Now, the Son is also true God. Do not be confused by this. But to make the distinction clear, he is called Lord. In particular, he is called Yahweh, because the Son takes upon flesh and blood. So he is born of the Virgin Mary, conceived of the Holy Spirit, and he does suffer and he does die. He's crucified. He sheds his blood to be this atoning sacrifice. And he is raised from the tomb in his body. And so the Son is given this name, Yahweh, that he is the Lord. This declaration that can only be made by the Holy Spirit, giving to us faith to believe this to be true. So that you have this distinction that the Father is typically referred to as God, to make a distinction from the Son who took upon flesh and blood, who is referred to as the Lord, or Yahweh. You see, again, Paul will clarify this and go into further detail in Philippians chapter 2, when he teaches us this distinction between the person of the Father and the person of the Son. So in Philippians chapter 2, Paul once again is teaching us from the Isaiah text in chapter 45. And here's how Paul teaches it to the baptized in Philippi. He says this, starting at verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. You see how Paul teaches us this distinction, that the person of the Father is referred to as God to make a distinction between the person of the Son, who is Lord, who is Yahweh, so that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Yahweh to the glory of God the Father. So in the book of Hebrews, we have the testimony of the Father who declares that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, eternal, who laid the foundation of the earth and the heavens are the work of his hands. And then we have the testimony of the Holy Spirit who inspired the writer to teach us back there in chapter 1, verse 2, which says that through the Son, he created the world. And likewise, in Hebrews chapter 11, the Holy Spirit teaches us, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Now that's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. So here we have the testimony of the Father and the Holy Spirit that the second person of the Holy Trinity, born of the Virgin Mary, is not a created being, but rather the Creator.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, and may our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.